And we are back, turning on all mics full blast. So yeah, that meandering zombie noise was the Nine Inch Nails free album, Ghosts 1 through 8 million. And thankfully we only got through three songs of that. I actually like the album, it's just, you know.
It is not my favorite of the Ghosts.
Yes.
I would hope that we could have held out until Ghost 47. That is the best Ghost.
And speaking of ghosts, I currently have for a little bit someone who is often seen and not heard, and sometimes heard and not seen. Rob T. Firefly.
Greetings. Good morning.
There's a morning?
Apparently. Apparently if you just like wait long enough into the evening, it becomes morning.
Huh. That sounds like my superpower, where if I stare at traffic lights long enough, they change colors. So yeah, so you're, would you kind of clarify yourself as like either a core staff person or someone who like makes things actually happen around here to some degree?
Core staff or someone who makes things actually happen.
That's a particular phrasing there.
¿Por qué no los dos? I've had many Hope duties throughout my time here. This is my 10th year working on Hope.
Yeah. How'd you get started in all of this?
Basically by showing up and meeting people and talking with people. I've done stuff on core staff, speaker committee. I do a lot of the art and design work, the signage that you see around the conference. That's me, or that's my work. I'm me. But I got started just by being around in the local 2600 meeting community and having met up with everyone and hung out and whatnot, and it at some point became apparent that they needed some art done, and I'm an artist, and so I started doing that. And through doing that, we all got to know each other and work with each other more, and I ended up on Off the Hook, and things just sort of spiraled from there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I've often had people ask me, like, why do I volunteer at Hope? And it's like, how could I not? One, I like being a helpful person. And two, it's kind of like an unsaid statement that if you regularly attend the 2600 meetings, you're just automatically volunteer staff for no reason.
Also, volunteering is important because before I started doing anything, I was from the very first Hope I went to back in 2000. I was volunteering. Mm. I was volunteering. At least I started volunteering just at the end with the breakdown and taking everything down and apart, because I'm good at that. I'm good at breaking things and taking them apart.
I've seen proof.
Absolutely, but that was awesome. And next time Hope came around, I volunteered at the beginning and just kept doing stuff. And so. Emmanuel and the crew knew who I was, and still do, for the most part, I think. If you're a volunteer, you're basically showing that you're someone who this is all important to, and also you're someone who can get work done, and not just show up and claim to be a volunteer, demand a free T-shirt, and then run away without putting in the work.
Yes,
because
Dave.
That happens. We know who you people are. Mm-hmm.
One of the best worst things about doing Radio Statler is we have an active IRC channel constantly. It's on the 2600 IRC network as Radio-Statler. Mm-hmm. And it's always amazing when I actually have I'm worried about this for Chelsea Manning if she decides to come down, where I have an amazing follow-up question to ask, and then someone comments something that's just so hilarious and awesome. So I have user percentage Manjo, who wrote...
Oh, that's my mother's name.
Yes, who wrote, by the way, I was listening. This music is much better. Ghost 50 is much better. Good afternoon. So I just had to stop to read that real quick.
I would like to respond to all in the IRC channel by flooding with a text chat image of finger pointing a gun. So underscore, 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 dash, 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 dash. You guys know the rest.
Just that...
That's not my ringtone.
Pick up your phone!
I would never have a default ringtone. That's offensive.
Who's calling at this hour? So, according to my records, we managed to pass something that, according to people in the United States, it's called a Friday?
fried. I just ate a sandwich that contained some fried eggs. So it all makes sense.
So how was your Friday, the first day of Hope?
It was pretty great. Thursday night, I was up way into the night placing most of the signs.
For a lot of people who are either part of like a fixture here, such as the Hardware Hacking Village or Tool or Radio Statler or Press, our day usually starts on Thursday or even Wednesday. We're just trying to get everything in.
For those of us on staff, we our day starts on Thursday or sometimes Wednesday. A lot of the folks are driving trucks in from places and making other things happen. But here at the hotel, things start up on Thursday, and we start with a setup. And I had some great help from some wonderful volunteers earlier in the day. But then later into the night, I was working alone, and I was working alone until about silly o'clock in the morning. And as I stuck up the last sign, our wonderful security guy Frank. We all know and love Big Frank, comes up to me and asks me if, are you doing this by yourself? And I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, he grabbed someone who he was walking with, and he's like, no, you need to help this guy, finish up his job. And this was as I was pasting the last thing to the wall. So, but, it's the thought that counts.
Every little bit counts.
So after that, it was crazy o'clock in the morning, and I took a train home to Queens because I didn't have a crashing situation set up yet. So I live in Queens with my wife. I took a train home, and the train is completely screwed because it's the MTA. And so I ended up getting home, getting to bed at blithering idiot o'clock in the morning, and getting a little bit of sleep, and actually getting a lot of sleep. So I missed half of Friday, which by the time I got here, Friday had... a lot of Friday had passed already, so I missed a bunch of it. But the bits of it I saw were good, and I did some MCing in the Ritchie Room, and that was pretty good for the most part. And it was, but just coming back, it's like coming home every 2 years when Hope starts up. It's really like we're all seeing people that we see every 2 years and catch up with folks, and also seeing folks that I saw a few days ago.
It doesn't help that we have this. We've so far been having like the same mezzanine layout consistently for the past couple cons. Like when I showed up here Friday morning, I was like, "Wasn't I here yesterday?" Like yesterday was Hope 11, right?
Yes. And it's a bit weird. I got a little bit of sleep in our hammock area, not a whole lot, but enough to keep me, I think, still breathing with a heartbeat. So.
I'm so mad now because I really want revenge where I can just do that weird perspective angle photo of like me with the hot dog. There's like there's a famous picture floating around where the only time I fell asleep in a hammock and Rob decides to do a in-camera Photoshop of a giant hot dog in my face.
Yeah, you were sleeping, and I held a hot dog up closer to the camera lens, but so it looked like it was coming at your face.
Yep.
And this is the sort of thing that we can do. I should point out this is not an Al Franken type of situation. Side Pocket and I have been friends for very many years, and this sort of thing is just part of our lives.
Yep. In fact, part of the reason why I have you on for a bit right now is kind of revenge for blissful revenge for you honoring me, but putting me on one of the many people on Off the Hook this week.
Yes, this past Wednesday was it's a tradition when we can do it to have the big pre-Hope Off the Hook episode. And this time it was, I was the only one of the regulars in the studio. I was, running the show as happens sometimes. And everyone else was driving trucks or, preparing other things or just making things happen behind the scenes. And making sure that they could, get everything together for this. So I decided to just contact a whole bunch of the speakers, yourself included, and stuff the studio at our little station in Brooklyn with as many people as I could. And it was like shoulder to shoulder in that place.
I was kind of honored that you consider me and the rest of Radio Statler staff as speakers, because it's going to be less speaking and more of like incoherent, drunken, tired rumbling at 9 p.m. today.
Well, that's exactly what we've come to appreciate from you fine folks here at Radio Statler.
It's basically a Steve Rambram talk, but only 1 hour. So it's apparently a brand new day today on Saturday. What are you looking forward to? I actually been asking people this is whether it's your first con or your last con. What are you looking forward to the most? And the rules you can't say sleep or food.
You've taken away two of my favorite things. I don't know where to go from here. I am just looking forward to more of the same, really, and not to say that in any sort of boring, samey way, but just more of what's been going on in, you know, as long as this has been going on, you know, catching up with old friends, meeting new ones, seeing some talks. I wanna go to some more workshops because I've never been able to attend enough workshops, and that's something that, you know, you miss a talk, you can catch up on the video, but workshops happen there with the people around you, and it's something that it's a side of this conference that I've actually never really experienced as much as I wanted to, so I want to try and catch some of those.
Today actually is where I'm going to be doing most of my workshops because
I don't want to go to those. I want to go to other ones.
No, because that's the thing is, I always appreciate Hope for the talks. It's actually one of the few cons where I truly look forward to the talks. This year is insane with the amount of talks, and the workshops are like, it's almost like I don't know what to do first. There's just like legit so much content at this particular con here at Circle of Hope. It's, I think, less it's less more of a Circle of Hope, in my opinion, more of a cacophony of hope, which I appreciate.
We're enjoying it, and yes, the circle is ever expanding, and it's been amazing. We have more space than we've ever had before. Mm-hmm. We've got a big ballroom downstairs, and
we got big balls.
Absolutely, and that's dirty great balls. But they are now. Wait, can I say that? I'm not usually allowed to talk
it's
about
the chiptune concerts. Even if we had FCC regulations, we would basically owe about $2 million based on Friday night alone. So
I know I was kept awake by most of it because one thing we've done in the layout
yeah,
of
we
this
could
me-
swear.
Mezzanine.
Yeah.
One thing we've done on the layout of this mezzanine is put the chill out sleeping area right next to the Radio Statler area.
Oh yeah.
And one is for people trying to get some rest, and the other is for people trying to make noise. So I intermittently caught some winks during your Cards Against Humanity game.
Oh, that was I was sleeping too, so I was in the same boat as you are. We had one particular guy in here. I talked to him. He's an awesome dude, but I think no one has to laugh anymore for the rest of the con because he was just owning it every game. Like, I think people on the 13th floor could probably hear him. What was I going to say? I still think that's a better arrangement than, if I remember correctly, I think it was the Next Hope, where I blame Lexicon for this because apparently this was one of his ideas. I think it was the second year of, it was either first or second year of having the hammocks. Mm-hmm. And someone thought it would be a great idea to put the hammocks right in front of the video screen.
Yes.
And so that's where I got the amazing experience of late Saturday night being really tired. Here happens to be a hammock. I'm going to pass out. And I woke up to a film that's apparently called Crackheads Gone Wild with no explanation of what the hell I'm watching.
Was this Disney Channel? Or?
It was on some form of channel. I think it's like if you took that weird psychedelic channel that you used to find on like UHTVs and actually cleared the image out, it's pretty much what was on display there. So I had a literal moment of just like waking up on this IMAX size screen just, and like that
we've got it all on UHF.
I can't even remember any talks or people I talked to at that particular year because that's the only thing that dominated my brain.
We all, after every one of these conferences, we all have that, you know, those one or two big memories that we really mm-hmm. keep going back to of our experience. And you've certainly got a distinctive one.
Yes. I would say so we had the trying to remember what number this one. Yeah, we had the 11th Hope 2 years ago, because mm-hmm. I can count because I'm a big boy now.
Excellent.
So we were talking about the memory. What was the big memory for you at the last con?
Big memory for me at the last con was my now wife, then girlfriend, mm-hmm. had gone with me, and she was still like we had been dating for about half the year, mm-hmm. and it was. Like, I had just met a bunch of her family at a big family event, but this was her turn to meet my hacker family, because she'd come to like 2600 meetings and the radio shows and whatnot.
I heard all the terrible rumors.
Like, still, like, there's no preparing someone for something like this if they've never been to anything like this. Yeah. And she'd never been to a hacker conference or anything like that. But she really jumped in with both feet and. Mm-hmm. and like had a great time. And within I think record time, she was working at the info desk with Liz and Neo and Gonzo and everyone.
Info desk to me is kind of like Radio Statler, where I don't think no one ends up volunteering there. You just like, it's like the end of the drain, where you just, as you circle around the con, you just end up there and start volunteering in that particular sector. Because that was the thing when we had our panel last year, also in the big room for no reason. I loved it because I was originally going to MC that, but I decided to jump out because I wanted Neo to do a joke. I'm probably going to be doing some part of the MCing for that. And I love how every person on, when they were asked, like, hi, my name and how I got involved, it was, hi, I'm this, I got suckered into blah, 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 or hi, I'm this, I was promised this, and there's other things. I was like, yeah, notice that no one actually volunteers for Radio Statler. We're all bribed and kidnapped and dark webbed into here.
Wait, you're saying this isn't a paying gig? What am I doing here? aren't we sponsored by, like, Casper mattresses or like, Blue Apron food or something?
I think we're sponsored by...
Hi, this is Jeffrey Craner. Buy Night Vale tickets. And
the sweet release
buy
of death.
Buy some crappy mattresses that smell like cat pee.
Oh, my God. I think you can probably find those at the sixth floor. I guess the last thing I'm going to do before I switch over is trying to think of a possible interesting last question here. Do you have a question for me on air?
What is a good present to get for a workplace colleague if you have like a little Secret Santa thing going on, and you don't know this work colleague very well, but you've got to get something because you can't get nothing, because you know then you'd be the talk of the office, and so you're forced to buy a gift for like this other person that you literally know nothing about, mm-hmm. because they're kind of you don't talk to everyone at work. Mm-hmm. It's just this sort of, you know, that it's there. It's like Pat from accounting or whatever, but you've got them in the Secret Santa and you've got to get something, but you don't know what.
And what is the budget for this again?
Oh, I don't know. What are the budgets for these things? I don't know. I don't have an office job. It's been a long time since I've had an office job.
So I would say that if you don't cop out and get a gift card, mm-hmm. I'll actually suggest a thing that I received once as a Secret Santa in eighth grade, and I still have it with me, which is a portable radio. I had a hand radio thing that when I looked it up, apparently it cost $12. And it's honestly like I had very heavy, expensive radios that died out faster than this thing is still working. It just takes two AA's, and yeah. And that's great because you can just find the thing that you like on it. So if you don't like it, you just move a dial and find something else. And so I think that just adapts for everybody.
That's a very wise answer. You are wise, but there is a sadness to your wisdom.
Yes, and that sadness is known as Radio Statler. Thank you, Rob, for coming on for this brief interlude, and I hope you have a great rest of the day, and I hope your sleep eventually is real sleep.
My pleasure. Thank
as
you very much.
As opposed to that fake sleep they're dealing around here. Freaking G.I. Jack. And
what's sleep?
Oh, God. I think there's a performance group called Null Sleep.
There is.
Yes. And so that they might be related to that. I don't know if they deal in sleep, but...
What, like the sleep dealer?
Yes. That was an interesting film. Speaking of which, I still can't get over that I got to see the premiere at a cafe, the film that Emmanuel Goldstein was, the Urchin?
Urchin, yes.
Yeah. Remember that? I got to see him die on film. It was amazing.
If anyone listening is at the conference and has seen Urchin, you need to thank John Harlecker for that film. And
yeah.
He is the bearded guy who wears his hair in a bun a lot, and you see him on the mezzanine cleaning up the trash and sweeping and like mopping the bathroom, because he comes here to do that, and then he goes and like directs films, and he directed me in experimental theater some years ago, and he is a heck of a guy, and he does like escape rooms and things like that. And he also picks up your discarded Club Mate bottles that you leave around, scattered around like a bunch of hooligans that you are.
Well, it's hope. A lot of us have really particular fetishes.
But also see the movie Urchin. It's you got to see it to believe it.
Yes, no, it's actually honestly Urchin is better than a lot of the films that are coming out. First of all, because it's not part of a cinematic universe. so that already gives it some brownie points.
Yeah, and who else is in it? Emmanuel's in Urchin, and I think Fiverr is in it.
Yes.
Yes, for like a hot second.
Yes.
And
I think it's interesting. It's like Fiber Basic, if I remember correctly, plays as a homeless bum, a.k.a. himself. And then Emmanuel Goldstein, which shocked me, he plays like a valet to like a mob boss.
Uh-huh.
So like I'm used to like awesome, crazy, disheveled Uncle Emmanuel Goldstein. So I wasn't expecting like black bow-tied James Bond suit with slick back hair Emmanuel Goldstein.
Yeah.
I had to blink a couple of times because it looked like someone like photo like literally badly photoshopped Emmanuel Goldstein's face onto like Pierce Brosnan as James Bond's like image from one of his movies.
Yeah, and also I think involved with, I might be misspeaking, but I think Dave Buchwald was also involved in that. He's also known as the old timey phone freak Bill from Arnock. Mm. And he's worked with John Harlecker a lot. And who else? I'll tell you something else. From the movie Urchin, I learned of, there is a guy with a sailing ship at the end.
Yes.
And not to spoil the ending for people who haven't seen the film, but it involves this guy with a sailing ship. And it turns out that guy was a real guy with a sailing ship that sailed out of New York at the time, named Reed Stowe, who then set to have a record-breaking sailing trip around the world for 1,000 days. He wanted to spend 1,000 days just surviving, you know, by himself on a ship.
Hunting a giant sperm whale.
And he had, this is going, I think, however many years ago this was, I have no idea, but he had a website where it was tracing his trip, and he was sending blog posts, and he also had an assistant with him on this ship who he ended up marrying, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And so that was, I was following his story for a little while, and it was weirdly interesting. And it was just, I'm following the adventures of a guy with a sailboat because I saw him in a movie which I watched because my hacker friend was in it. And like,
yeah, no, I get that in my life too, where it's like, you realize how much of a small interconnected world everything is. That's also one of the reasons why I've been wanting to get you on air for a while, especially just two of us, because I sometimes feel like us talking is like two wikis trying to out-wiki each other.
Citation needed.
Yes. So I'm going to actually sum up as last thing of trying to inform people something on. So if you're just listening with audio and not using the NSA spy cam we have up there, one of the things that you will eventually notice about Rob is that one of his fingernails is a different color than the other.
Oh, yeah. Two, actually, today.
Ah. But yes. And that's where you have to ask, like, what are these nails different than what are the other nails? So the question I just basically, for those listening at home, is just, why?
Well, the short answer is, why not? Yeah, I wear nail polish usually on one of my pinky nails, and I started doing it just sort of for it, just completely randomly. I was in like a dollar store near where I used to live, getting something else, and I had just been through a really crappy episode in my life and a situation that that kind of left me adrift, and it was rough, and without going into details, but like I had gotten through
I
it, and
you.
I had moved. Yeah, you were a help during that time of my life. But like,
by the way, first Maria Statler, someone says I'm a help, and also not the help,
no.
A help.
No, you weren't.
Progress.
You weren't the help because I couldn't afford you. But I had gotten through this period of my life, and I was buying something else, and I saw a bottle of nail polish on the shelf that was my favorite shade of bright neon green, and so I figured, you know, what the heck, you know, it costs a dollar, and. So I picked it up, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this nail polish? I thought, would I paint something with it? Would I use it in some artsy way? And I'm just like, well, I'll try painting my nail. And I knew the mechanics of it. I grew up with, you know, raised by my mom with two sisters. So I just gave it a shot and decided that I liked it. And I just kept doing it, and I got better at it. And I learned about things like base coats and not buying crappy polish from dollar stores that actually stains your fingernail. There's actually sort of a scene of there's this, I guess, little community that I found out about later. They have a subreddit on Reddit called Male Polish, MALE Polish, and it's just guys everywhere for whatever reasons, whether they're like doing the drag thing or whether they're doing a like a punk thing or whether they're just, you know, doing whatever, just doing it as a little form of self-expression. And you know, I I picked it up, and you know, I've some people have been a little bit confused by it, but like every like I've never gotten a bad reaction to it.
I think if you're at Hope and you're not confused, there's something wrong with you. I think that's just part of the experience. Also, since we're just kind of shooting the shit here and the piss and all
yes,
the
we
walls.
Can we can shoot shit and piss on on non-FCC
regulated
radio.
Well, everyone's already drawing
radio
on the wall, so that will improve everything.
Also, for those of you who've been listening to me on Off the Hook for years, you know, here's some other words you haven't heard me say: fuck, ass, Barbara Streisand.
How dare you? Barbara Streisand. Actually, with Ajay Pratap as the FCC chairman, I can believe the Barbara Streisand would be on that list, especially since he hates her effect. But as I quickly just adjust a little bit of the sound levels here, because we do, as you can tell, we're on a delay and speaker system going on. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the side, so I feel like sometimes when I'm with you, I can almost tell like what year and or decade I've known you from based on what new odd, like, this is going to be a loaded statement, what weird odd, like, aspect of femininity that you accidentally learn from some sort of endeavor that is not directly into that. So there's the nail polish, and I think my favorite one is still when we used to, which we need to go back to one day, is the Greenwich Village Halloween Parade, the biggest in the world, biggest volunteer parade in the world.
Yeah, you were with me when I did
Clock Tower Lady.
Yeah, the Clock Tower Lady from Back to the Future, one of my favorite films. And you know, if you're from the 80s, I think it by law has to be one of your favorite films.
Which is why it's in Real Player One. That's the last time I'm going to mention that film.
Ugh, don't get me started. Except if Ready Player One was very aptly dealt with by a podcast called 372 Pages We'll Never Get Back by Mike Nelson and Connor Listoka, two of the writers from Riff Tracks. Mm-hmm. Also, Mike Nelson was, you know, from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and so on. But they basically did a chapter by chapter read along of that book and their reactions to it, and because they're brilliant comedians, it was great and worth a listen. But Back to the Future had this character called the Clock Tower Lady, who was this little old lady who was waving flyers around about saving the clock tower. Saving the clock tower, and the flyer ended up being a big plot device in the film. And so I had this love of, you know, putting together geeky costumes from, you know, nerdy things, but
that
ones that that people wouldn't normally do. And so, like, when I did a Ghostbusters costume, I wasn't a Ghostbuster. I was Rick Moranis' character Lewis, the accountant,
yes,
who gets possessed. So
best
I had
metal,
like,
strainers.
Yeah, I had the colander on my head and everything. And so I wanted to do a Back to the Future costume, but you always see people dressed as like Doc and Marty and mm-hmm. whoever. So I was the Save the Clock Tower Lady, and I printed up flyers, and I actually designed a clone of the flyer. That you can still find if you search for Clock Tower Flyer. You can find scans of the real ones that they used with, like, gibberish text, but you can also find ones with
actual...
Didn't
they reference your thing for an official book, the printout?
It wasn't an official book, but if you find one that has, like, an actual news story about the lightning striking the clock tower and stuff, that's pretty much guaranteed to be mine. And I snuck my own name in there and names of some people I knew. And
famous.
Some other stuff, and I used a different font for the head. So like, and my version of it, which I put out there for free for anyone to print, you can now buy from so many people who aren't me on eBay and Amazon and stuff. And there's no beating back the tide. But also, I can't feel too sorry for people who get ripped off by paying for something they could have gotten for free if they just Googled or DuckDuckGoed or whatever they like. But yeah, so I dressed as that Clock Tower Lady for Halloween, is what I'm saying.
I remember you were like, I remember you telling me, like, I didn't know about, like, skirt sizes and how difficult it is to get a skirt in general until you did that.
Yeah, I was, like, going to thrift shops and, like, where I used to live, there was a little church thrift shop and places like that, and just, like, trying things around my waist in the aisles. Like you do. I mean, it was used clothes, mm-hmm. and just finding something that looked right, close to what the lady in the film was wearing. And so I had this skirt on, and then I had, I think, four pairs of knee-high stockings, because I am what most people would call a hairy individual in the leg area. And I was not committing to the character as, like, your your Sasha Velours or people like that who actually shave things. So I put on like 4 layers of these stockings so I wouldn't have hairy man legs, and you know, just jumping around in this like old lady cardigan with this gray haired wig and handing out my flyers to people. And
I'm just so glad I got to social engineer Rob G. Firefly admitting not only on radio but on giant speakers blasting on the mezzanine about his details of getting into drag for the first time.
Well,
actually,
well, also the last time so far, but yeah. You know, my wife
so
did
far.
Get me into the Drag Race show.
Yes,
which, I remember you coming
Success.
Over my house and watching it, and I was just like, whatever, and I was doing other stuff on my
yeah.
computer. And but like then she got me into actually following it, and like I had
it's
a
like,
favorite
this is such
one
a silly
and stuff.
Thing, Doctor Who forum, fan forum.
Yes.
I particularly about that parade, what I vividly remember from that was the day where it horribly rained.
Yeah.
So there's an amazing photo out there on, I can't believe I forgot this website exists. There's an amazing photo out there on Flickr.
Oh, yeah.
Of literally you tilting, you were wearing a wig, so you're literally tilting your head forward,
mm-hmm.
and a waterfall just came out of your wig.
Yeah.
Like a,
yeah,
like
it was
special
a cheap
effect.
Like wig in a bag from yeah. Halloween Adventure or something.
Almix, spelled A-L-M-4-X, wrote, I am shocked by Mr. Firefly's intense language this morning, smiley face. or colon.
I am so offended by that statement, and I will be crying myself to sleep over it tonight.
Well,
but thank you for listening.
Well, I think I will.
I like that, yeah. too, because like, I've heard from people who've met me. Who was it? Oh, it was someone called Nina who you know as well, who comes to our meetings sometimes.
Yes,
and she's
I had
here
her
at Hope. And
last con like, when we did an entire segment mm-hmm. called the Grinding Your Gears, the Biohacking Hour.
Yeah,
she's
also
the main panelists.
Yeah, Nina Ali. She's also joined us on Off the Hook, I think, for the previous Hope. But when we were getting to know one another, one of the things she said to me was like, "I feel like I shouldn't swear around you." but right now I've had you know, a little bit of sleep but not much, and my filters are a little lowered, my shields are not
well we're using
at
them for
power.
Coffee all day, so
excellent. But yeah, it is something that happens sometimes when I'm allowed to. But I got very good at code switching because I used to be in the arcade business, and that was working with kids, and you mm-hmm. know, there were children around, and if I were repairing a machine or, you know, doing something and like, you know, I get shocked or burned or cut or something,
yeah.
I can't shout out, you know, fuck during, you
yeah.
know, in that when I'm surrounded by children and their angry parents. So I got very good at like just switching, like
yeah.
they call it code switching when you switch from speaking one way to another
yes.
way. And so like I got, you know, also I have younger sisters and whatever. So I've been pretty yeah. good at like switching from I can swear now mode to I can't swear now mode.
Yeah.
And so that became a big help when I got into radio.
I'm the same. I get the reverse reaction where I never know how to take this, where people meet me in person, one of the first things they say is like, wow, you are way nicer in real life. And I'm like, compliments, backhanding compliments.
another
something worse than that. Yeah.
Another bit of fun info for maybe Off the Hook listeners is there's a poster in the BAI studio of the 7 dirty words, the 7 words you cannot say, because if you're familiar with George Carlin's 7 dirty words or filthy words sketch, as it's been known, WBAI was the test case for
yep.
like they played that album on the radio and got the complaints and got sued to near oblivion by the FCC. And so there's this big poster up on the wall with like 7 words you must not say, and it says the 7 dirty words. Mm. If you look up the 7 dirty words on Wikipedia, you'll see a photo I took of that poster in BAI studio. And it's also on the Wikipedia page, I think, for FCC versus Pacifica Foundation, which was the court
yeah,
case
yep.
In question. So, which also means that if you're doing radio and you're live on the air and sometimes your mind just goes blank, like you were going to say something but you forget what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're in the studio and your mind goes blank and you're like, oh my God, what was I saying? I got to say something. I can't have dead air. And you look around and the first thing that you see is the 7 words you must not say
it,
on
yeah.
the air.
It's like, look at that sign. We could just look at it. We can't read it. what was I going to go with that real quick? Is, speaking of words you can't say on the radio, we should actually try that once for Radio Statler just have a segment where it's like kind of like that stamp routine that you took to me once where we have like a list of words that we will be penalized for saying on that hour and try like common ones, you know?
Yeah. My friend Sandy Chan Simone, who is a great, who's a great comedian who I've performed with and worked with on things. She had I think she still has it sometimes, was an open mic and I forget what it was called.
It was fun.
But like there were big posters on the walls of things that are way overused by comedians. Mm-hmm. Like, it was called Here's the Thing.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the phrases, yeah. Here's the Thing. And, Am I Right? Or like just all these hackneyed, cliched stand-up comic phrases. And the gag was that the comedians on stage at this show were not allowed to use those phrases. And if they did, they had to either I think sometimes they had to take a shot if they were drinkers, or if they were not, they had to like do jumping jacks or something else, to, like, suffer some sort of penalty. Mm-hmm. And watching comedians try and get through their sets without using any of these is fascinating.
I would love to do that for a Hope or Def Con one year, where it's just like, you know, all the words like mitigation, cyber, blockchain, just have that, and it's just like
that would be fun.
Yes. Speaking of which, just one little side, so thanks to last year, due to a certain incident, I like to call where you try to substitute words out when there might be sensitive ears around, known as Kyling. Do you maybe want to explain on air why?
I think you need to explain this.
Okay.
Cause you've named it.
So this is something that actually happened, at this convention where, if I remember correctly, so we sell a drink here that you might have seen floating around the webcam called Club Mate. Mm-hmm. You will eventually see pictures of me at the end of the day pouring it down toilets, trying to get rid of all the empty bottles, because there's a lot of them.
Throw your bottles away. There are garbages in every speaker room.
Yes,
there are garbage cans.
I'm sick and tired of doing bowling with them every end of the year. And so we sell them at both the mezzanine and on the 18th floor. And if I remember correctly, I think it was the 18th floor. Because in order to store them, so they're fresh, cool, they have refrigerators. And on the 18th floor, they parked the machine there, and there were supposed to be like two people guarding it. And they were like, oh, a bird, and just wandered off. So people walking by were like, hey, look, a refrigerator. I could use this. So by the time Kyle came back to load the refrigerator Club Mate, it was already like, it looked like a work lunchroom where it was like brown paper bags of people's food and like, substances they were going to use later, and like keyboards and Walt Disney and everything in there. And so, and just instant reaction, he just automatically went, oh, Jesus Christ! And just everyone died around him. And it's just one of those like magical random moments that you can only get at a convention like this. Mm-hmm. Especially when the stakes are high and the brain cells are low. But I think we've sufficiently wasted everyone's time who are awake at this morning. We actually, I'll probably show you later this IRC channel. We're full of people. They're just dead right now.
I'm sure.
We successfully killed them last night.
Every time I go into any channel on 2600net, it's just all a bunch of idlers.
Yep. It's either idlers or really epic arguments. I will tell you this.
Epic idling arguments.
Yes, the one thing, Epic Idol, the movie.
That was Eric Idle. He was one of the Pythons.
Oh, I thought that was the Transformer series. one of the things that we were supposed to do this year, but unfortunately Aesthetics couldn't make it this year.
Mm.
It just sucks because he usually gets involved a lot with, like, of course, Daft Con. And so he set up a bunch of stuff and then he couldn't make it. He's stuck in Germany right now.
And also he's just a great dude.
Yeah,
we miss him.
He's a great person to hang out and talk with, and a very distinct also person. Like, he can spawn like across the mezzanine. Mm-hmm. It's such a distinct look.
Absolute lad.
Yep. So what's been going on 2600 IRC is when my roommate G.I. Jack and him are both on IRC, they get into these amazing epic debate fights. Like, it's like what I wish the 2016 election debates looked like. Like, it is like these insane stances, and there's a lot of your mothers and things. So we were going to do, as a joke, like the like final definitive round live, where we're going to have Aesthetics and G.I. Jack in the room, and I was going to wear a black and white striped referee uniform. We had cards and like a whole timing system, and I had this whole opening based on Monty Python's I'd like to have an argument. And unfortunately, because of just communication, because we also were thinking about like having Jack Kieran doing a live stream, that did not happen. We're aiming, that's like basically the first thing we want to do for 2020. Mm-hmm. Like aesthetics is like, he is now literally, that's why he now wants to go to Hope in 2020, is to have this epic final argument with my roommate. So
excellent.
That should be interesting. So that's like a little kind of behind the scenes of like, yeah, we do have cut content sometimes at Radio Statler, and that's one of them.
So they're gonna spend the next 2 years just gearing up for this massive debate. So they're gonna be like training and like arguing while marching up the steps of the museum in Philadelphia.
It's gonna be like Batman versus Superman, where it's just like aesthetics pulling tires on ropes.
Maybe their moms have the same name. Spoiler.
It's like port 23. Log into port 20. Why did you say that port? It's his mother's port. And then they'll like throw a meme away, but then they have to retrieve it again. And oh no, that makes me Jesse Eisenberg. No, damn it! I knew this was a bad idea bringing you into the radio. Well, anyhow, unfortunately, I have to stop wasting people's time here. But if there was any way I could ever have a good time wasting people's time on Radio Statler, it would definitely be Rob T. Firefly.
Oh,
I like to think of, honest, like, dead serious here. This is going to be like the aw, sappy, sad sitcom 90s moment. I do see Rob as, like, this weird, extended, like, he's like my brother from Earth 2. In the multiverse, to the point where if I actually ever decide to procreate, besides the fact that this would be the end times, I would probably, unfortunately, train them to refer to you as Uncle Rob.
Oh,
because that's just like how I see you, and they can be like Uncle Rob, and he's weird because he's Uncle Rob.
you are also you feel like family. I mean, we've known each other for about 100 years now, and just like there is.
I'm that younger sibling that constantly gets hooked on drugs that you have to like bail out every like 3 months.
Well, you're one of my younger unrelated siblings that get hooked on drugs once in a while.
We have a lot of those around here.
I seem to attract them.
Or convert them. It's one of those two things. Once again, thank you.
I'm the weirdest teetotal uncle around.
You're at Hope, so I think you have a lot of competition for weirdest around here. Some of that's going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't have a lot of competition for teetotal.
Yes. And hopefully, if you are wandering around the con and you see Rob taping it up another sign of, I think there's like 80 of them now, please grab some, I learned this term, artist tape. It's the white tape.
It's the white tape.
The white tape.
Not the blue tape that that the Nock used
all
over
the
place.
Because superior tape. Just going to leave that there.
Yeah.
Take that with what he will, and just help him tape up whatever he needs to tape up, even if it's Neo Amsterdam.
Excellent.
But yes, thank you for being on Radio Statler, and
my pleasure.
Good luck with the rest of the con.
Thank you. And if you see me at the con, please and you feel like coming up and saying hi, please do. Please feel free, because that's seriously one of my favorite things is meeting folks around here.
Also, if anyone wants to like. Check out like some of the hobbies and interests that you talk about and stalk you and try to figure out your social security number. Where would they go to find these things?
Well, you could find me on Twitter as Rob_T_Firefly, and you can see more of what I'm all about at robvincent.net.
A lot more nude photos than I wanted to.
No, we don't do that here. there are photos of my face, which the internet, of course, has way too many of. But yes, robvincent.net is where I live on the internet.
And I just want to warn that if you are listening this at July 21st in 2018, roughly, I would say, to about August 19, 2018, I just want to be warned, there are some incredible wedding photos on there where everyone is fabulous and very dapper.
Yeah, I don't think I actually added those to my site yet, because I have a post I've been writing about my wedding, and it's just been a draft for ages, because so much has happened. No, just like a lot has been going on in our family, and so like I have not gotten the post about my wedding, which happened about like 7 weeks ago now.
Yes. But, basically, I just want more on the internet that there are photos that will that.
But I tweeted. I did tweet them.
Yep. That are designed to elicit an awe.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to warn that because now apparently since 2016, the worst thing you can do on the internet is make people feel feelings. so it's make feelings and facts the two F's. There's the two new F-bombs for the FCC.
Two of the Fs.
Yes. That you don't do. And you add an E to that, and you have a whole movement. But yes, thank you, Rob T. Firefly, for being on Radio Statler. And
thank you
again,
for having
good
me.
Luck for the rest of the con. And you,
I'll have to come back in here at some point.
I hope you get this movie rest. I now smashed the hourglass, and you are free to run away from the badly stopped animation spider.
Excellent. I appreciate that you did that rather than give me a sock.
Because you have enough of those. Well, they'd have to be mismatched,
yes.
First of all. So, yes, that's a requirement. But, yes, thank you. And now we're going to try to switch over to another.
Do we have more Nine Inch Nails? Because otherwise I could start singing my Nine Inch Nails
covers.
No, but
what we do have, however, and this is how I'm going to bump this up until around 10. We're probably not going to play the whole thing because I have to leave at some point, which means the laptop goes with me. or at least I close it and hopefully no. So my problem is I'm going to close it and it's going to open up and it's going to have Windows 10 on it for no reason and like pictures of middle fingers and my bank account just says ha-ha on it.
I put like Red Hat 6 from 2003 on it or something.
It's like, why am I getting all these pizzas from North Korea? So we tried to have him on before, but that's back when we were doing the Reunion Chipmunk album. It's just some of the people over at Newsbeat, which is a... I met them at a it's called a hip hop hackathon where they combine, they essentially reach out to as the code word is to poor urban communities by linking music, primarily the music genre of hip hop, to technology.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, what I've seen it is that they bring kids from middle school through college get interested out in Brooklyn, the Bronx. Learning about music and how to produce their own music, and they literally end by knowing Python coding.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really interesting development. I'm actually trying to bring that to Newark in the next year or so. And I met these guys there, and I love how unabashedly they call it. They're known as Newsbeat. They're a social justice podcast. That's something you don't normally say. Like, right, you have boom, social justice podcast. Fuck you. How about that? Right in your face. We are the SJWs.
Hey, I'm a proud SJW.
Yes. I actually want to eventually get a Spaz 12 shotgun that is pink glitter case, and it just says warrior on it. So I am an SJ warrior. This is my actual gun. Speaking of not guns, Newsbeat, there's, as they call them, a social justice podcast fusing hip-hop, beats. They find topics such as urbanization, legal injustices, racism, classism, sexism, and they interview people who are at ground level on these. These are not people reading off of a script or just deciding to give up and say fuck it, we're doing it live. This is the actual people who are going through all this stuff right now on the front lines trying to fight it or highlighting the injustices of it. Hmm. And then they actually contract friends of theirs who are in the hip-hop community, and they do unique hip-hop songs that summarize the actual news that they report on. It's a very interesting... It's like having like Chinese food in a taco shell. It's like that type of a fusion. And because it's a good intro episode, we're gonna play the first episode for a good chunk of time, and then later on today, I believe it's gonna be at there's Saturday, at I think it's at 6:30. We're actually gonna interview one of the main people that's behind Newsbeat, who had a panel yesterday about them doing this sort of podcast and how to set up and not have the cops like raid your hard drive and stuff like that. And just as a quick summary here, at 10:30, Radio Wonderland is going to come by and we're going to try to get them to perform live.
Radio Wonderland is absolutely
amazing.
Awesome and amazing. And
yeah.
needs to be seen
Radio
to be believed.
Especially the type of instruments that they use and build is exactly like if I imagine like we zoomed in on a window of your brain and like the operation mechanics. That's like, you know, old steering wheels and shoes. And
I think Radio Wonderland is one of those kinds of music that like I wanna play it for other people to show them what the inside of my head sounds like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Can't get a better description than that. And then at 11 a.m., I'm going to bring a bunch of people who are heavily into the IoT scene, appropriately titled the Idiot Hour, lowercase I-D, capital I-O-T hour. And then we're going to have an awesome...
After that, we're going to have a marathon of 97 episodes of Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh, that's
going to... Jeffrey Craner, buy Blue Apron Foods.
That's going to be Saturday
hipster food for sad people.
And then right after that, at noon, we're going to have DVN to Johnny Xmas talk about starting a business. because if I wanted to invest in two people, it would definitely be Deviant to Johnny Xmas, because there's no way they're going to spend that money on booze and cheap limo tickets. And then 2 p.m. is when we have Chelsea Manning on for 2 hours.
Excellent.
Also, in a couple of weeks, Newsbeat is actually, they interviewed Chelsea Manning earlier, and they're going to do their own episode just entirely on that. I've never heard of a rap song based on Chelsea Manning, but I cannot wait to hear what the heck that sounds like. and we're going to have a lot of great content later on. So after basically the Idiot Hour, you'll probably hear me back again. Well, we're going to have a Radio Statler panel at 9 p.m. that we're going to be rebroadcasting. And right after that is a panel, show on here I'm really excited about. This is the first thing I actually wrote for Radio Statler. It's called Hacking the Naughty Bits. It have Kit Stubbs here.
Excellent.
Miss Mayhem. Renderman's going to be here talking about his hacking all the dongs. And on it's going to be my only second remote interview with a group called Assembly 4. I don't know if you've heard about them. They're a group of people living in Australia who were really upset seeing what's been going on with the Sesta Fosta, and especially like, you know, even though that's in the United States and they're in Australia, United States is still seen as like a world leader in last sense. So, you know, they see Sesta Fosta and they're thinking the United States is going to do this. Eventually other countries are going to start making similar laws. Mm-hmm. So they created something called Switter, which is a lot of sex workers had to, which are burlesque performers, sex educators, go-go dancers, people in the adult entertainment industry were being mass at like right week after Sesta Fosta were being mass kicked off of Twitter and banned on Facebook. So they took Mastodon and recoded it. These are sex workers. They learned how to code and reformat Mastodon into essentially a Twitter for sex workers. And it's actually, if I remember, the second or third is biggest Mastodon. They have like
excellent
a couple thousand people on there, and it keeps growing. And right now, and the most recent thing they built, and they have a bunch of projects coming up, is one of the things that also happened was they shut down the personal section of Craigslist and Backpage, and an odd blessing in disguise, they made their own version of Backpage that's hosted like on like Swedish servers, so they can't be got to, and they made it, they redid the system so it's better so that the actual performers and workers in it get directly paid and it's a fair system.
Excellent.
So I'm going to have all these people on there talking about all this.
And that's a great illustration of the hacker ethic.
Yes.
You know, even when used by people who might not consider themselves part of the hacker world, but you know, they have a thing where like the infrastructure in place does not provide for them what they need, and so they have the ability to like, we're just going to make it, we're going to make our own thing, and it's going to work. And
if you don't, I didn't want to keep
inspiring.
You here for too long, but I would love to go on this tangent because it just has to be said. I'm going to repeat a little bit of this when we get to that talk about it. I just want to put that in there now.
Sure.
The two things that I find so fascinating about this, first of all, I'm the big proponent of getting the sex workers and the hacker community talking to each other for especially this particular situation, because you have so many things like all of the any bit of technology you can think of, its pioneering thing was for adult entertainment and not just like modern circuitry. When the printing press was invented,
in the
they literally
world,
used they printed porn to finance printing Bibles, which was the original idea that they wanted to do for the printing press. So
it has been at the forefront of every sort of media innovation there's been.
VHS versus Betamax, the proliferation of DVDs, cloud streaming services, all VR.
Yeah.
All of this is pushed by that sort of field. And what's been frustrating me is I keep having to put on like my old man pants, being like, oh, back in the day, but now it sucks now. Because there's this weird phenomenon that I feel in our community. And to me, there's no background that I don't see this happening to. So I always list it just to make sure I don't like leave any broad context. I've seen this with libertarians. I've seen this with people in our community that are conservative. I've seen this with people in our community who claim to be anarchists and socialists, where we have this veneer of we wear mohawks, we don't try to follow popular trends, a lot of us, and we're like, fuck the man, don't be a follower, be someone who tries to strive their own path in their life, and like information should be free, we should have civil liberties, and then nipples get involved, and those like, exact same
like,
people
hey.
Are the first people that are like, censor that. And to me, and I've had people who are not hackers who have come up to me and said that I've met hackers, and that just greatly confuses them. And I have to kind of explain that, there's things that have changed, and just because you're a hacker doesn't mean you're not human, and these are social semantics, and we never get away from social semantics and all this sort of stuff. So I'm glad that I hate that this law got passed, and I'm going to be detailing and then talk about it. I'm kind of glad that this allows, it's not only just that like sex workers need their help in the same way we kind of need their help, because this allows us to push us out of our comfort zone and deal with things that we would normally not think of dealing as part of our community, when you know our community is so vast and wide, and our backgrounds, creeds and cultures and services that and just with the proliferation of technology, that everything is part of the hacker community now.
Absolutely. And the hacker community has come together for like so many different populations that needed them, that needed us, really. The whole revolution in Egypt years ago, and like, you know, as recently as when we had the protests for because a pipeline was being built over Native American land, and there was a hacker team up there who was making sure that those activists had connectivity.
That's the one I got mad that the Black Rock, I missed. Them, because I heard spectacular.
And like just all these aspects, all these communities of people who are out there trying to change things, and how the hacker community, or at least those among the hacker community who think it's a worthy goal, can lend expertise. And it's like people are always saying, and it's a common criticism of what we do here at Hope as well as 2600 and Off the Hook, where it's like a lot of people are like, oh, you guys are too political. You guys just get too political at your conference. Make it about the tech. Just talk about the tech and don't get political about it. But I've that's always really confused me, because the hacker part of me is the part of me that also is the part of me that's looking to see how things are and see how things can be improved. And so like, I'm not a hacker because I'm an activist. I'm an activist because I'm a hacker, and I see these things, and I want to try and improve them just as much as I'd improve some project I'm working on.
I said this earlier, I said this yesterday, but it's worth repeating that, especially there was, it got particularly bad with that kind of sentiment of like, Hope's being too political. Why can't we just talk about Python and nothing else but Python? And I have a pet snake that's a Python. And
We can have a radio show where we go on BAI once a week and just like read Python code for you to type into
literally,
your computer. But that would make some people very happy. But it wouldn't be much use to the world in general.
And it was particularly, I felt we had a flare up case of this between. In my personal experience, it was between like 2007 to like 2014, where I would just be hammered by that constantly, and I had to point out that it's like, look, I hang out with you guys, I've seen you guys, you're standing there complaining about that it's too political, while you are wearing an EFF T-shirt with your Free Gary Kinnon hat. And standing outside of the White House complaining about the digital divide and net neutrality as if this stuff is not political.
we've been doing it for ages. I mean, back in the 90s when we all had the stickers and were protesting Hollywood being dishonest in their telling of a true crime story.
Right.
And with the whole, Free Kevin thing.
And the way I've always kind of sub-hacking is that a lot of people hack for fun. And a lot of people hack because they want to do something, especially if it's positive. And, mm-hmm. and sometimes you get the awesome rare case when it's both.
Yeah. ¿Por qué no los dos?
Yep. So that. So I tried to bump up more, but I'm going to play the podcast. Once again, thank you, Rod P. Firefly, for taking out your time. And you, and because what you don't see at home, he's literally going to take the headphones off, and then he's going to pass out, and I have to take a stretcher and wheel him away, and it's only Saturday morning.
Yeah, so. But it's so good to have plans.
Yes. But hey, at least you have a retirement plan, you know? Like, that's the. I'm still waiting for my
retirement plan is try not to get old.
I'm still waiting for like my 2600 insurance. Like, that's what I'm waiting for right there. This is supported by blockchain and everything. But yep, we're going to do that. So it's plugged in here and turn off the mics and away we go.